Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to this podcast. In today's segment, we will be talking with Mr. Bradford Lee, the Director of Operations at leading cybersecurity firm known as Release 2 Innovation, also known as R2I. They're based out of Lothian, Maryland. Brad, thanks for your time and let's get started. Can you tell us some of the highlights of your career?
Sure. With R2I, I've been the Director of Operations since December of 2015. Prior to that, I was 12 years with SAIC/Leidos. They broke off and became Leidos, up at Fort Meade. While I was there, I managed one of the largest cyber analyst programs at Fort Meade. Before that, I was with Oracle Corporation. I worked on the Y2K project for the White House downtown Washington, which was very interesting. And prior to that, I was 12 years as a Department of Navy civilian with the Office of Naval Intelligence. That's my career in a nutshell. In addition to all that, I am a retired Army aviator with the Maryland National Guard. That's pretty much my career.
It's a very well-rounded career, especially I love the aviation part because I'm really big in airplanes. But anyway, so how did you venture in R2I? Is this a company that you helped to create on your own, or you just dealt with other people, or how did it get started?
No, well, I was not here when it was started, unfortunately, but I have helped it grow since I came on board. I have a working knowledge with, or not a working knowledge, I've worked with the CEO founder of the company prior to, and with where I was at in my career with Leidos at the time and the desire to do something else, his company was growing, so it was a perfect timing of me coming in to take over the operations, the day-to-day operations. He's primarily a technologist, so that allowed him to focus on technology and products. So it was kind of the perfect mix of when I did come on board.
Okay, sounds fantastic. Now, how long has R2I been in business?
R2I was founded in March of 2014 by Wayne Wheelis. He's the CEO and founder. And we are a service-disabled, veteran-owned small business.
Okay. Can you expand a little bit more on that, please, for our audience?
Yes. As far as the service-disabled, is that what you're expanding
right,
on?
Service-disabled, yeah. Can you expand a little
yes.
bit more?
Wayne Wheelis is a disabled veteran. He served in the Army. And based on that, you can get special provisions going through the Veterans Affairs Office. And when I say special provisions, a lot of government contracts come out for small disabled companies. And being a disabled veteran-owned small business, we fit that niche that if a business comes out that is targeted for small business or service disabled business, we're able to bid on that and get that work.
Gotcha. Sounds excellent. Now, does R2I have a presence in other countries as well, like an international focus also?
As of right now, no. However, in preparation for that and in working with some of our prime contracts, our larger contractors within the federal space, we are registered with the Department of State for ITAR compliance. So we're prepared, but as of right now, we do not have a presence outside the U.S.
Okay. What exactly is ITAR compliance?
International Treaty and Arms Regulation. I'm not sure if that's the exact right word for it, but it's basically the State Department tracking any companies within the U.S. doing work outside that they're not passing any defense secrets or things like that.
Gotcha. Okay. Now, whom is your typical customer base? Who are you trying to target? The small to medium-sized business, the Fortune 500, or a mixture or combination of both?
Predominantly, it's the small to mids on the commercial side. Our products and services, primarily our products, are geared to them. They're affordable for the smalls and mids. They answer the mail. We can, in with some of our products, a product called Known Networks, which we'll speak about later, is more oriented towards, I would say, the large, big businesses because of what it does. And like I said, we'll explain that more. But from a commercial, we're targeted to the small and mids. Now, we're also targeting federal agencies. We have a presence there now, both with our products and with our services. So we're certainly looking to build our federal footprint as well.
Sounds good. Now, how large is your organization? How large is R2I?
R2I is small. We are a niche company. We specialize in big data, cybersecurity analytics. Currently, we are at 12 employees. We have a few that are in the pipeline right now to be hired. And what I mean by that is some of our work, we work for government customers that require clearances, and it takes time to get clearances transferred. So as soon as that process is done, we can actually onboard them and get them to work. So we're a small company. We're looking to grow by at least two. Well, we've got two in the pipeline. We'd like to add two more before the end of the year. So we're looking at a pretty good growth for this year.
Okay. Sounds excellent. Now, let's get into your product line. It looks like that R2I has a number of distinctive products called Known Networks, Jedi Badger, Fish Fry, all, you know,
yep.
Mubu, Passive Perimeter Evaluation. Could you give us a rundown of all these products, kind of give us a brief synopsis of what they are and how they work and what they do for the customer?
Absolutely. So Known Networks is basically provides a vast repository of information about network traffic and the structure of the internet available to developers. So what does that mean? It basically gives developers direct access to information about how the internet or how the information coming across is broken down into different registries. And it does this through crawling and various sources. In other words, with the network traffic coming into your organization, we break it down, and I'll say layers, call it layers, of if we know these based on all the web crawling we've done and the sources we have, we know certain IP addresses are related to cloud hosting. Certain are related to social media or our government, whether it's federal, state, and local, academia. So we subcategorize all these IP addresses and all this traffic so that you can pick out and basically you can filter what you want to look at and what you don't. Now, that which is not, I would say, subcategorized or put in one of these bins or layers, that's what you want to look at if you're looking for threats to your network. If you don't know where it's coming from or if it's not related to any of these and it's coming from, you know, we can identify what country, host country it's coming out of, those may be the ones you want to look at. So what Known Networks does, it gives you this vast repository of information of how the IP addresses are broken down and allows you to filter through them and look at what data you want. Now, some interesting things about Known Networks, it's updated on a cycle of every 6 days. We have 98% coverage of the internet, and we can deliver the high fidelity by leveraging machine learning, harnessing linear models, logistic regression, and neural networks. That's how we're able to basically, I'll say, refresh it every 6 days through that type of processing. So it's a very powerful tool. That's kind of Known Networks in a quick synopsis.
Okay, sounds very powerful. Now, can you go on to more like Jedi Badger?
Sure. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to group these Jedi Badger, Shadow Warrior, and Fish Fry. Those are all basically threat data sets, and they each have their own benefit or their own specialty within themselves, but they're all threat data sets and a couple of our government customers are using these as threat feeds for their systems. Jedi Badger is a threat reputation data set, which has extensive coverage of over 19 different threat vectors and different threat classes, meaning is it proxy, VPN, attacking activity, botnet, denial of service, and that type. Drawn from over 50 well-vetted sources worldwide, that's where we pull our data from. And based on the various sources, we provide a subjective threat score to each one of the entities in the data set. And what that is we look at, are these entities, are they known previously to have threat data, or when I say threat data, have they delivered malware? Are there botnets? If they're known, they'll be given a higher score. If they have not been seen yet or are unknown, then obviously a lower score, less of a threat. So that's how Jedi Badger works. It's looking at 19 different threat vectors. Now the next two, Shadow Warrior and Fish Fry, they are much more specific. Shadow Warrior is a Tor data set. Tor stands for the Onion Router. And what is Tor used for? People that use Tor basically want to maintain anonymity. They don't want people to know who they are or where they're coming from. So inherently, if you see a known Tor entity trying to get into your network, it draws obviously your attention because they're trying to keep of who they really are away from you. So Shadow Warrior is a Tor data set that has all the public entryways, and these are published that are known. But then there are also non-public entryways, which are also called hidden bridges. We use, and this is where we differentiate. Others may have Tor data set, but we have a proprietary way of harvesting the non-public nodes. And that's where we differentiate ourselves from the rest, so that if somebody wants a Tor data set, we have both public and non-public. FishFry is our ransomware data set. It provides information about both IP addresses and domains that either have been confirmed or are highly suspected of being involved in ransomware. When available, additional threat vectors may be included if they are associated with ransomware. Leveraging this data set allows clients to proactively monitor and/or block malicious actors from delivering malware to their system. So that's the Jedi Badger, Shadow Warrior, and Fish Fry kind of summed up. You want me to move on to Masubu now?
Yes, please. Can you move on to Masubu?
Okay. So Masubu is our premier threat intelligence service for protecting your enterprise in the age of the Internet of Things. It basically provides two things, IP address data and then cyber threat data. IP address data is, I don't want to say it's common. There are other products out there that offer that same information, geolocation, company, ISP, the network, and additional information. What we offer in addition to that with the Masubu is the cyber threat data, similar to what we talked about in Jedi Badger. It provides threat information such as, is it a known, and these are IP addresses, is it a known malware entity, or is it a bot? Is it known for phishing or ransomware? And then we identify based on that, if there is a threat there, we provide a threat classification, which is basically high, medium, and low, based on the threat. Are they known entities, or is their IP address close in a range where there's a lot of known threat entities in that IP range, and that will give them a little bit of a higher score as well. So that's where Masubu differentiates themselves with other, I'll say, IP information tools, is that we add threat data onto it as well. And Masubu is easy to use. It represents R2i's numerous threat monitoring and long-term data analysis, and it's wrapped into a simple web-based API. The RESTful API can be easily integrated into existing tools and support varying levels of detail. And with all of our tools, because the next one is more of a service, all of our tools are meant to enhance your existing cyber defenses. They're not meant to replace. We are just an added ingredient, shall I say, that makes your defenses better. So the next is the passive perimeter evaluations. This is a service we recently added due to we've seen a lot of interest in it and we've had a lot of requests for it. So for short, for passive perimeter evaluations, we call them PPEs. So the PPEs provide a comprehensive view into an organization's security posture. The process and tools are built on 5 decades of applied experience in the domain of cybersecurity, threat intelligence, and network operations, performed using very similar tools and techniques that the bad guys would use, that the hackers would use, so that we're going to get a realistic view what possibly is a risk for you that needs a mitigation strategy. Is there an opening that you did not know about? So that's why we use the tools and techniques that are very similar to what the hacker or the state-sponsored or state-run adversaries would use. And a couple of the areas we look at in PPEs is social engineering. In other words, what can we learn about your organization just by searching the internet, just by looking up management individuals, who's running the company, details from the website. We can also look at corporate emails and look at, have any of the corporate emails been compromised? And if they're compromised, that basically means that that information is out there and that people, when I say compromised, it could be on dark web, where people could use that information for phishing campaigns against your intranet. So that's why you want to know about corporate compromised emails. We also look outside the network. What does the perimeter of the organization look like? And in layman terms, are all the doors locked? Are there any doors that you don't know about? In other words, are there any entry points in your infrastructure that you're unaware of? And that can be the servers that are facing the internet. Are they patched to the correct level to prevent access? What OS are they using? Is it the most secure? And things like that. And then we look inside the network. And with this, we're looking at what information or is the organization leaking information that they don't know about? This is done through looking at documents that are posted on the website. Is there metadata that is out there that you could restrict? Because metadata can tell us what software is being used on the infrastructure, what devices are out there, and sometimes it will identify users. So that information you don't want just out publicly available, that can be mitigated and pulled back so that there's not access there. So that, I think, covers all the products.
Okay, that's an excellent overview. Thank you so much. Now, what kinds of customers have used these products? Can you elaborate maybe on a few if you can?
Sure. With known networks and the data feeds, that's Jedi Badger, Shadow Warrior, and FishFry, those are all currently being used by federal agencies. I can't go into details as far as who, but that is primarily being used by the feds. Masubu and the PPEs are commercial, and I will say within commercial, healthcare are using those two products.
Now, do your products have a hardware and software component, or is it strictly all software-based?
It's all software-based or services in the sense of the PPEs that we spoke to. That's more of a service. but they are they are basically data sets built on advanced analytics and enriched data. And as I said before, we are more or less ingredients that can be added to your existing infrastructure to increase your security. So you're correct. We are not hardware or software component. We are data sets and services.
Gotcha. Okay. Now, can you further elaborate on your other services? I saw on your website that the dark web monitoring tools, they look particularly intriguing because, you know, I've written the three-part blog series on the dark web, and that really kind of interested me. Could you maybe elaborate that more for our audience as well, too?
Sure. So with dark web, obviously dark web is an interesting place, shall I say. So for organizations that are interested, we offer a dark web monitoring service that will provide periodic updates. And when I say periodic, based on the needs of the customer, whether they want them weekly, monthly, semi-annually, whatever, regarding an organization's data or information that may be for sale on the various markets on dark web. And what we do is this is very, again, passive information collection. We provide information as to what is out there that's possibly for sale, and like I said, if there's a price associated, and who is selling it. In other words, what market is it out there? Is it in out there? And that's about it. We don't go into any more detail as far as digging. Web has its own, I'll say, dark side of things. So that's pretty much all we provide. We just look at what's out there. And again, we can do this on a periodic basis for a company of data or information. And obviously companies are worried about branding and brand defacement and things like that. So we can monitor that for an organization, whatever their needs are for them.
Okay, sounds excellent. Now, do you have any customer success stories or any case studies that you'd like to share with us?
Really, there's only really one. Our No Networks product is being used as the network filtering solution for the .gov domain. And I find that pretty remarkable for our product to be used that way. So to me, that's pretty impressive that the .gov is using our product for all their network filtering solution.
Sounds excellent. What separates R2I from the other cybersecurity vendors?
Okay. For the most part, R2I is focused on network threat intelligence at the endpoint of an organization's infrastructure. In other words, where information is coming from the internet into an organization. That point, that's where we are looking at all that information going in and out to try to protect an organization. So we focus right there at the endpoints, and the fact that we offer both products and services. A lot of companies out there are either all products driven or services. We fall in the middle and have both. So that's where I think we're a little different than other vendors.
Do you mind if I backtrack on the last question a little bit? Do you service other domains, extensions other than the .gov domain?
.mil. That's really the only other one I know of. I mean,
okay.
I mean we work in.
Gotcha. Okay. Now, for your customers that you reach out to, do you offer any free trials or any type of free risk assessments before they make a purchasing decision? Or if they're already a customer, do you let them, like, test drive another product or service before they make a decision on that as well?
Yes, we do. First off, by registering at Musubu.io, you'll get free queries per day to help you decide whether the product is right for you. So that's just registering on the site, and you can 50 IP addresses you can put in there and see all the data that's provided back to you. Also, if interested for like the data sets that we have, like Jedi Badger, Fish Fry, and Shadow Warrior, we can provide samples of our various data sets for you to evaluate. That's not a problem. As far as PPEs, if you're an existing customer, whether you're using Masubu or you've had a passive perimeter evaluation done, we certainly, those are on a case-by-case that you're an existing customer, we will certainly offer either discounts or free trials for our other products as well.
Okay. Now, do you depend on the VAR, like the value-added reseller strategic partner model for sales?
Yes, and that is pretty recent that we've started that with our, not only with our PPEs that's been working currently, because we're in the process of adding two VARs now to work on that, but we are looking to expand that area, because that, as with a company our size, we have only so much view or access to the markets. So we're looking for these VARs that have a much broader access to the market to basically sell our products, and obviously they're making money as well. But we are looking to expand that, and as I said, our products are easy to bring into an organization to complement their existing infrastructure and the products they use.
Okay. Now let's switch to the cybersecurity landscape here and look at the macro picture. Is there a specific area in cybersecurity in which R2I focuses on? Because cybersecurity is such a big world and it can mean anything to anybody. Can you elaborate more on what you specialize in, please, in a little bit more detail?
Yeah, for the most part, as I mentioned earlier, we focus on the network threat intelligence. And what I mean by that is the IP addresses that are coming across, or the domains that are coming across the endpoints into your organization. Our focus is to find out everything we can about them, not only where they're coming from, you know, are they carrying a payload to put it on your network? Anything dealing with that endpoint of the network intelligence of that data coming across. We don't look at anything else. We're not involved with firewalls or malware reverse engineering or anything like that. We specifically look at network threat intelligence.
Okay. Now, we keep hearing in the news all the time about North Korea, China hackers. Now, Russia seems to be picking up quite a bit because the midterm election is coming up. What are your thoughts on that? Do you think there's going to be Russian meddling with this?
The potential is certainly there, but the potential has always been there. And what I mean by that, everybody, you know, the Russians are meddling, and whether they are or not, I don't know. But there's also technology out that can obfuscate who you are. And I think, I don't know who it was, but a while back when they were talking about this in the news, you know, they said, well, what if it's China wanting to make it look like it's coming from Russia? There's ways to do that, and vice versa, or if it's coming from some other country and making it look like others. So the technology is there to obfuscate who you actually are and to look like somebody else. So is the potential there? Yes, absolutely there is. But the parties that are doing it, they certainly don't want to be identified, so are they portraying themselves as someone else? And then I hate to say this, but plus, we only hear what the media is telling us. So what is really going on and what's really happening, I question. But absolutely, the technology is there to anything that is on the internet or online, the Internet of Things, it's vulnerable.
Right. Now, what are your general plans for expansion? Are you going to offer new products and services? Are you going to enter new markets, maybe open up some branch offices? What are your plans for that?
Well, we want to grow our services in the federal space right now, and we're doing that. We're tied to, when I say tied, we are teamed with a few prime contractors that we have newly awarded contracts. So we're going to build there. And also, as I mentioned earlier, we're a veteran-owned, a service-disabled veteran-owned company. So as those opportunities come up, we want to expand. Also through our VARs we just spoke about and marketing, we want to grow our product, and we want to focus our a lot of our products. I think we have a good story to tell in banking and finance and healthcare, and as we mentioned earlier, targeting the mid to small cap companies. So we want to expand our services. In the products, yes, we certainly want to get for our federal customers, we want to get into additional or more federal agencies and sell the product and then grow our commercial work. And as far as new products, that we continuously do. And actually the products we have now were designed based on our discussion with customers in the space of what their needs were. So that will always continue to grow and enhance.
Okay, sounds excellent. Now, the cyber threat landscape is going to be changing on a daily basis. You know, every day it seems like something new comes out, some new threat variants come out. How will R2I keep up with all this? I mean, it's such a mind-numbing task, in my opinion.
It is. And one of the things, as I just mentioned, is get in close or listen to your customers, and they don't know what's coming, but by understanding what their pain points are now, you can sometime extrapolate, okay, what's coming next. If this is where the threat is and we shut that down, because as with every, you know, when a new piece of malware comes up, they design a defeat for it, and then the hackers go and design something new, and that's going to continuously go on. But by tracking it and looking at the trends, you can extrapolate hopefully, what the next step's going to be. So I would say getting close or listen to your customers. They are the best source of what current and what they're looking to the future of what they want to do. So based on that, hopefully you can see the needs of what's going to be in the space. And then with that, you have to have, as with anything, the ability to quickly adapt to the needs of the market. And that's something that we certainly have as a small company that we are. You know, we can literally turn on a dime that if we see a new threat, we can get a couple folks on it and figure it out in rather quick time.
Okay, sounds good. Now, do you think that the cyber threat landscape will just one day kind of plateau out? The cyber attacker is just going to get tired of it all and say, hey, I'm done with it. I want to do something different.
No, I don't think it will. And it's for two reasons. One, I think it's too lucrative for them. There's money in it. Then they're, you know, when they figure out a hack, they sell it on dark web, they make money. And also from a technology mentality that if a hacker's out there and they've created a hack into, say, an ATM, and I know that was a recent buzz, okay, they figure out a defeat for it. Well, inherently that hacker's going to say, okay, then I'm going to step my game up and something more complex is going to come out. So it's lucrative for them from a financial perspective, but also it's a technology challenge for them. As defensive measures improve, the hackers devise more complex means of hacking.
Okay. Now, based from your experience as a cybersecurity professional, what do you think the biggest cyber threat will be out there? I mean, we keep hearing about ransomware and now these things with cryptocurrencies, Bitcoins being hacked into. Is your professional opinion as to what we need to be looking at for the most?
I personally think from the biggest cyber threat is to our infrastructure. And I know that's a broad thing, but it hits everything. When you talk about water, electric, gas, transportation, comms, those are so, I don't want to say they're susceptible. They are, everything is. But I think that can have the greatest impact on us. Certainly, you're going to have those that target, you know, finance and banks and trying to steal money or data or, you know, IP and stuff like that. But from a large scale, the biggest threat, I look at our infrastructure and how we protect that from the, you know, again, water, electric, gas, transportation, communications, everything. It all ties in. So that's where I see the biggest threat to be.
Right. I'm seeing that more in the news headlines, too, that the cyber attackers are going like after a critical infrastructure. I think I just did a blog piece a few weeks ago where a cyber attacker, I think it was a homegrown one, where they actually went after, like, the public alarm system, you know, the emergency action message system of, I think it was Ohio or some state where they actually set off, like, the tornado alarms, and people got really scared of that. So, yeah, that's a great example. Now, finally, yep. Bradford, and conclude, what do you recommend for people to do to protect themselves from cyber attack? I mean, obviously, everybody has their own, you know, 2 cents worth. I throw out my opinions. But from your perspective, from your years of experience, what's the one or two things or a few things that people can do to protect themselves?
I would say, and these aren't really specific items, but just to be aware and be vigilant. And what I mean by that is understand, and I say this, you know, with talking with my kids and when they were younger, and they're older now, but like when you're on your phone and you're putting things out there, you got to understand that it's not just a text between you and somebody else, that somebody can see that. So you have to be aware that anything that is put out on the internet is going to be vulnerable. And that's the bottom line. It's vulnerable. How vulnerable it is, it depends on how much you know, preparation you take in making sure that it's secure. And there will always be risk. Anybody who says there's no risk in cyber, I question their sanity, because there's always a risk. But be as security conscious as possible. And the term I use, the devil is in the details. And not only from a perspective of, you know, credit card information numbers and social security numbers, but I'll say Facebook transactions where people are talking about, oh, we're going away on vacation for a week, can't wait. Okay. Now anybody who sees your site, which you don't know everybody, they know you're away. Now is your house susceptible to be robbed and things like that. But there's other things as far as organizations, but who you're related to and at work. You know, if things are posted or there's transmissions about who you work with, where you work, certain people will take that and put together like a network of, okay, this is who you are, this is who you work for, these are your coworkers, these are, we think, our family members. And that's data that I really, personally, I would rather people not know. So there's that element of it. And then certainly what I said earlier, you know, watch putting credit card information out there and social security number and you got to be aware, understand that there's a risk and be aware of that risk.
Okay. Well, Bradford, thanks so much for your time today. And we really appreciate it. Thanks. And we look forward to hopefully talking again in the near future.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks for your time. Take care.
Bye-bye.